Oh, yay, yo, oh, yay, oh, yay. The Honorable Court of Appeals for the Second District of Texas is now in session.
Thank you. Be seated, please. Good morning, and welcome to the Second Court of Appeals, where we will hear three cases argued, and we have two that will not be argued today. The first case is Roxanne Hunter versus State Farm County Mutual Insurance Company, and I'll ask the clerk to call the case.
May I please the court? Mr. Jimmy Franklin will argue for appellant. Mr. Stephen Roberts will argue for appellee.
All right. Mr. Franklin?
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court? Your Honors, I am Jimmy Franklin, and I have the honor in this case to represent, at the time she was badly hurt, 9-year-old Hannah Hunter, who is Roxanne Hunter's daughter. This is a bad automotive vehicle collision between the vehicle that Hannah was a passenger in. The car Hannah was in was being driven by her older sister, Heather, and a collision occurred between Heather's vehicle and the City of Fort Worth lawn truck vehicle that was on Winscott, we claim was illegally parked on Winscott Road in the right-of-way when it should have been off the road. This was a huge, huge collision. Hannah, 9 years old, suffered permanent tears to the muscles in her left eye that control her pupil, and it's permanent damage. Obviously, because of her young age and the permanency of her injuries, I believe this case is almost a catastrophic damage case for a young child, and I've pled it that way. The reason we are here, Your Honors, is because of Judge Evans' ruling against Hannah on the issue of the underinsured motorist coverage. I, on her behalf, am asking this court to review the public policy issue that we have raised as to whether or not, because of Hannah's severe, catastrophic, permanent injuries, damages, if she is entitled under Texas underinsured motorist law to avail herself of the $20,000 benefits, I believe it's minimum coverage that would be available from State Farm if Hannah prevails today on this appeal. I will be very brief. I have basically one position, one case, a recent case in support of my position, and I just will state that simply. In Streisner, which is, I know you all know, is with a landmark watershed UIM case the Supreme Court came out with years ago. About 10, 12 years ago, this court, Fort Worth Court of Appeals, issued the Scarborough case, and they cited part of the insurance code statute for citing Streisner, and when Streisner talked about the public policy behind underinsured motorists and uninsured motorists. Very briefly, Your Honors, if I may. And this is a footnote 1 cite out of the Scarborough versus Employers Casualty case, 1991, Fort Worth Court of Appeals. Footnote 1, Article 5.06-1 is to be liberally construed to give full effect to the public policy which led to its enactment. The purpose of the statute is the protection of persons insured thereunder who are legally entitled to recover damages from owners or operators of uninsured or underinsured motor vehicles. And if I may, Your Honors, the lead case that I ask you all to consider for this public policy review is the Jankowiak case, which came out of the 14th District Houston Court of Appeals of 2006, I believe. And there, in a nutshell, what the Houston 14th Court of Appeals did is they took the public policy platform behind our entire uninsured motorist law scheme in Texas and basically ruled that any law, any exclusion, any ruling, any policy exclusion, or any language that attempts to lessen the statutory mandated $20,000 coverage or that limits or tries to limit a covered person's recovery of actual damages will be held invalid. And that was basically the nuts and bolts of Jankowiak. It was a public policy. Well, because of how they ruled against almost all the cases and the legal principles that you will hear Mr. Roberts advance on behalf of his client, because the Jankowiak court disregarded all those precedents, I believe it was a public policy decision and a public policy analysis that they did perform, and I'm asking your honors to do the same. Because we know the statute itself is to provide not only uninsured coverage, but under on a case-by-case basis, on the evidence, if a young child is horribly injured or anyone is horribly injured or killed, the damages are catastrophic. And when you're dealing with the kinds of lower minimal statutory required policy limits that we have in this case, I believe that the public policy is certainly justified, like the Jankowiak court was justified, in going ahead and saying, okay, we know the policy has an exclusion for family member use or whatever, but because that exclusion language limits the legal effect of having $20,000 uninsured motorist coverage available, or this particular case that we are applying this exclusion to has actual damages that far exceed the available liability limits, then I believe the public policy is in support of my client, and that's basically how the Jankowiak court analyzed it and ruled in the plaintiff's favor in that case.
But in the Jankowiak case, that did not specifically involve the family member use exclusion, did it?
It did not, Your Honor, but footnote 7, whichever footnote it is that specifically talks about the Rosales case and the Kahn case, the Kahn case specifically dealt with this exclusion that State Farm is asking Your Honors to uphold. And the Kahn case, Your Honor, is also one of the lead cases that State Farm is going to has been advocating on. I assume he'll repeat that. He'll ask you again to rely on Kahn in your decision in this case. So that's my basis, Your Honor, for standing on Jankowiak, and that's my answer to your question. The way I read Jankowiak and how they did the footnote, if you read the Kahn case, Your Honor, it is right on that family member exclusion language. And if I remember right, the Kahn case said it should be applied or it should be held valid. And what? So I take it by the 14th District Court of Appeals in Jankowiak basically footnoting that case, and that's all you get. And it's such a it's a right on it's on all fours with my case here. I don't know how else to understand or explain that or apply it to my case here, because clearly the issue was raised. I forget what insurance company it was in Jankowiak, but anyway, the insurance company raised Kahn, and the 14th Court of Appeals footnoted it and disregarded it or set it aside or something. They did not apply it. And the only issue raised in Kahn, I feel pretty confident about this, is this family member exclusion that State Farm is relying on in this case. And that's one of the reasons Mr. Roberts cited it as one of his lead cases in support of his client's position.
I have another question.
Sure.
The Bergenson case versus Hartford?
Yes, ma'am.
Also holds that the family member exclusion is not against public policy. And it's a writ refused case, which means that we're bound by it as if it were a Supreme Court case. So can you address that case?
Yes, Your Honor, if I may. And I thought about this long and hard the last few days. And I certainly will not argue with you. If my memory is it's writ denied, not writ refused NRE. If it is, then I agree with you. Y'all must look at it as precedent. My memory is, and maybe I missed one, but I thought most of the cases that are against me on this case were writ denied. Obviously, if I'm wrong, then the answer to your question is yes. That's certainly precedent that I have to deal with. Again, though, my argument and my response would be the Jankowiak case is the only case that I can find that actually went into great detail about this actual damage public policy analysis. For example, the Scarborough case that this court did back in 1991, they mentioned public, they rule against the public policy argument raised by, I assume, the appellant, the injured person, but they don't go into any detail. So that kind of hamstrings me on that one as far as information on that. But in any event, I'm pretty sure I've read most of the cases that apply to this issue, and I think the Jankowiak case is the only one where the full actual damage public policy analysis was applied. So you make an excellent point, Your Honor, and I can't argue with you on that, but I still believe that because the Supreme Court has not officially come out and said we are going to uphold this family member exclusion even against a little 9-year-old girl that doesn't have a whole lot of insurance anywhere to compensate her, we're going to apply that to the case anyway, and so therefore it's not against public policy. That's the issue that I'm asking you all to address and review, because I believe it's a legitimate point. I don't think the 14th District Court of Appeals did anything unusual. I think they were really truly looking at the evidence of that case and doing it like I believe it should be done in these situations on a case-by-case basis. And if I may, there have been a couple other cases where the case-by-case arguments have been made in these uninsured motorist cases. Not every underinsured motorist case is going to involve catastrophic injuries. Some of them could be what we call soft tissue cases, which may not rise to the level of exhausting underinsured motorist coverage. So I believe that the Jankowiak case is appropriate. What was interesting is that there was no appeal to the Supreme Court of the Jankowiak case. I know you cannot read anything into that. It's just since we don't have the benefit of that review, it's interesting. And also, the other thing I like about the Jankowiak case, Your Honor, is it's recent. It's 2 years old now, I believe. So that's my whole position. I mean, that's why I'm here. I disagree with Judge Evans. I fully appreciate the precedent that's out there, but I also fully understand the arguments and the rationale that the 14th District Court used to reach the result they did in the Jankowiak family case. So I'm asking Your Honors to review this case with the same eye and look at this file with that standard, as I'm sure you will, and make your ruling. I believe it should be done on a case-by-case basis. I don't think I could, based on some of the clients I've represented over my 21 years, I couldn't stand up here and make the same argument on a lesser case in an underinsured motorist situation. So I do believe it is case-by-case, and I do believe that public policy in Texas, based on Stroessner and the statute language itself, is sufficient to nullify this family member exclusion if the case warrants it. And I ask Your Honors to do that on behalf of Hannah Hunter, and I thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Franklin. Mr. Roberts.
Please, the court. Yeah. Good morning, Your Honors.
Morning.
My name is Steve Roberts, and I represent State Farm County Mutual Insurance Company of Texas, the appellee in this case. I will also be brief. I believe that the issues are a little more specific than Mr. Franklin had just given to you, but let me give you a background as far as the procedural, if that pleases the court. This was an automobile accident on November 12, 2003. It involved two vehicles. It involved the City of Fort Worth work truck, and it involved the sister, Heather Hunter's vehicle, which was a 95 Mustang. Interestingly, Heather was a listed driver on the Hunter policy, and the vehicle was also a described vehicle on the policy. Lawsuit was filed by the family on behalf of the minor injured child, Hannah Hunter, and that part of the case settled with limits for Hannah Hunter being paid on behalf of Heather Hunter to get a full and final release, and then $75,000 from the City of Fort Worth. I believe that's in both of our briefs.
What were the limits under the policy for the liability coverage?
For the liability coverage, it would have been limited to $20,000 because of the family member exclusion from National County Mutual versus Johnson, Your Honor, because it was a family member involved in the accident. State Farm was then added to the litigation, and a motion for summary judgment was filed by me on behalf of State Farm because the universe of potential tortfeasors could not qualify as an uninsured motor vehicle. In order to recover underinsured motorist benefits, you have to meet the terms of the insuring agreement, just as with any other insurance policy. The insuring agreement spells out that State Farm will pay damages for which they are for which the injured party is legally entitled to recover for bodily injury caused by an accident, so long as that the injury was caused by the owner or operator of an uninsured motor vehicle. Now, that's the specific point that the motion.
Your specific motion for summary judgment said that neither of the vehicles involved were uninsured.
They did not qualify by the definition in the policy. Yes, Your Honor. There are six definitional exclusions which were authorized by the state legislature to be included by the Texas Board of Insurance. The six different exclusions were the family member exclusion, which we're talking about here today, the self-insured vehicle, the owned or operated by a governmental body, which, by the way, covered the Fort Worth work truck, and in this particular case, Mr. Franklin has conceded that exclusion, definitional exclusion, is valid and does not contravene public policy. The fourth is operate on rails or crawler treads. It's the train exclusion. Can't get hit by a train and call it an underinsured motorist. The next one is the ATV, meaning designed for off-road while used off of a public roadway. And then the last one is a mobile home. Those are the categories of vehicles that cannot be considered an uninsured motor vehicle. We are talking here today about exclusion number one, which is the family exclusion. A uninsured motor vehicle cannot be a vehicle owned by or furnished or available for the regular use of you or any family member. Based upon the appellant's brief, I believe they concede that the plain language of the policy prevents any coverage here, and it's only a public policy argument, because the 95 Mustang was in fact owned by the insureds. It was driven by a named insured driver, and the sister was involved as a passenger there. There are not less than seven cases now that have addressed this specific issue, all of which have come in favor of saying that the policy exclusion, that I'll call it the definitional exclusion, because it's not really excluding from coverage, it's excluding a vehicle from the universe of vehicles that can be considered an uninsured motor vehicle. There's not less than seven opinions out there, all of which find in favor that uphold that provision. Your Honor, you mentioned the Bergenson versus Hartford out of the Houston First in 92. That was, in fact, writ refused NRA, and we believe that's binding on this court. This court issued the opinion in Scarborough versus Employers Casualty Company, very similar, writ denied case, also found that the exclusion was valid and should be upheld. In my research for today's event, there was a recent federal district court opinion, memorandum opinion, out of the Southern District of Texas, out of the trial court, in the case of Upson versus Allstate Indemnity Company, single car accident. The dad drove off the road and hit something. They recovered under the liability, then tried to recover under the underinsured section, and the court said no, that's not a permissible based upon the policy language. So again, it's my belief, based upon the brief of the appellants, that unless you find that this is somehow against public policy, which the Bergenson case says it's not, the Conse case says it's not, the Tatum case says it's not, and the Griffin case says it's not, then there is no coverage here for the minor involved in this automobile accident. Let me address a couple of things that Mr. Franklin Rose brought up in his argument. If you will please take a good look at the Jankoviak case. It does not apply whatsoever to the facts here. The Jankoviak case involved two vehicles. One was a man by the name of De La Sala. Jankoviak was a minor, Lacey Jankoviak. She was riding as a passenger in De La Sala's vehicle. He was hit by an uninsured motorist, Mr. Salas. The Allstate policy paid off the limits for Lacey under the De La Salle policy, and then they tried to recover underinsured motorist benefits from Allstate as well. In that particular case, Jane Koviac came back and said, yes, she can recover because she is not recovered for Salas. Salas was, in fact, an uninsured person. So to the extent that Salas had responsibility for the accident and caused her damages, of course she could recover. And that gets into, if you look through the case law that relates to this particular issue, it's the courts battling out the issue as to the Hansen opinion from 99 and this recent Jane Koviac opinion. It's the two Houston courts of appeals trying to figure out if you can recover on both sides of the policy, the liability and the underinsured. I believe that since Hansen came out, it has been widely criticized because it relied on an offset provision that was stated in the opinion to be a reduction in benefits both from the liability side and the underinsured motorist side. That's not actually what the policy said. So to the extent that Jane Koviac says that there's an additional recovery here, it's based on the policy language, not on public policy, because the policy language does in fact permit recovery against an uninsured motorist who is not the driver of the insured vehicle. Some mention was made of the footnote number 9, and I believe in appellant's brief that it was stated that the Kahn case and the Rosales case had been overruled by this footnote. That is not what the case says. In fact, if you read footnote number 9 in the Jane Koviac opinion, it says Allstate also cites to Rosales, but we find that the analysis in that case does not apply here. The reason being is because we have an uninsured motorist involved named Salas, for which no recovery was ever made by Lacey Jane Koviac in that particular case. We believe that the Jane Koviac case has absolutely no applicability here because it follows what the policy language says, and it also further has nothing to do with the public policy argument that's being raised in this particular appeal. As far as the two cases besides Burgesson that are more recent, the Kahn case, I believe, is directly on point, stating that public policy was not contravened by the upholding of this particular definitional exclusion. In fact, that particular case, and was echoed again just right before this appeal was, before our brief was filed in the Sharita case, which was, I believe, April of 2008, if you like recent opinions, Sharita versus Allstate Indemnity Company, is cited in the brief. On page 2, that quote says, the legislature specifically authorized the State Board of Insurance to exclude certain vehicles from the standard policy definition of an uninsured, underinsured vehicle. However, if a provision conflicts with express statutory requirements or purposes, it is invalid. Now then, Sharita dealt specifically with the policy provision at issue here and found that it was not against public policy to require, to exclude family-owned vehicles from the universe of vehicles that can be considered uninsured motor vehicles. So we believe that at least three courts have now spoken as to specifically the public policy issue, and that the public policy issue has been resolved dating back to 92 in that Bergeron case, which was writ refused NRE by the Texas Supreme Court. And the legislature has done nothing to modify its authority to the State Board of Insurance to modify whether this definitional exclusion should be removed. And in fact, this accident happened in November of 2003. The legislature that is cited in the Sharita opinion talks about the act of June 2nd of 03, 78th legislative session, that again recodified the uninsured motorist provisions, giving the State Board of Texas complete authority to limit the universe of vehicles that can be considered an uninsured motor vehicle. Briefly, let me address one other issue, and that is Mr. Franklin has explained to the court how this was a catastrophic injury and catastrophic collision. That may be the case. That is not at issue today. The case did not get, at the trial court level, did not get to the point where there was ever a judgment or finding of liability or damages on behalf of the plaintiffs in this case. It's our position that, you know, if underinsured motorist benefits are owed for whatever reason, in this case or any other case, the measure of damages, the catastrophic nature of those damages is not the issue. It's the total monetary amount that is actually owed. So, for instance, if there's a $20,000 liability credit and it's only a $21,000 case, that should be treated the same as if it's a $1 million case in the eyes of the court, because if the insurance is owed because the insurance agreement can be met, that's what should be done. Here, the plain language, as conceded by appellant's brief, specifically excludes any coverage for Hannah Hunter because the vehicles involved did not qualify as an uninsured motor vehicle. There is no public policy argument. In fact, all the cases that we have cited say that public policy has not been contravened by upholding this particular provision. Thank you, Your Honors. Any questions?
All right. No questions. Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Mr. Franklin, you've got 5 minutes.
Thank you, Chairman, Your Honor. Very briefly, and I know I made this clear, but let me say it again very quickly. The whole crux of this review that Your Honors were asking Your Honors to perform for Hannah Hunter is the actual damages public policy analysis that the 14th District Court of Appeals did in Jane Kowiak. Your Honors, I am not aware of any of that type of analysis ever being performed in any of these other cases that are against me or my client. They all say that the family member exclusion doesn't violate public policy, but the Jane Kowiak case gets into the heart of it. They go all the way back to Strasner. They go all the way back, as I started my presentation, to the insurance code itself. This is not just uninsured motorists, Your Honors. It is the statute specifically says underinsured. And so, with all due respect to my opponent and the insurance company, I believe the Jane Kowiak court got it right on the facts of that case, and I believe that Hannah Hunter is likewise entitled to have her day in court on her actual damages, because this was not a fender bender, and this little girl has permanent serious eye damage for the rest of her adult life, and the insurance available is just minimal on liability and under the UIM. So I believe the Jane Kowiak court did the full analysis. It's the only case I can find that does the actual damage public policy analysis, and I'm simply, on behalf of Hannah, asking Your Honors to do the same, and that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Roberts. Mr. Franklin,
thank you, Judge.
We appreciate the submission this morning, and you are excused, and you will hear from the court before too long.
Thank you, Your Honor.